Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. I have as my returning guest, Kristen Gieselin, who is a consultant and intuitive and a mindfulness mentor. She has catalyzed positive change for thousands of individuals and hundreds of nonprofit organizations. And she's been on my show, I think maybe three times now,
at least.
Yeah, at least three. So she's available for personal and business consultations, mentoring, custom workshops, and presentations. So recently during the summer, I know we haven't seen each other for probably about 3 or 4 months now.
At least 3 months, yeah.
You went on a retreat.
I certainly did.
And so I wanted you to begin today's program kind of sharing what you learned about yourself, maybe what you learned about others, family members, while you were on your retreat, because you were gone for about 4 weeks.
Yep. Okay. Yep. I did. I took a 4-week retreat and then back for a few weeks, and then I went on a family trip.
So you were gone a lot.
I was, and on purpose. You know, it's getting very hot in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my temperament that when I'm in the heat for too many consecutive months, I'm not my best.
You and me both.
Yeah, so I have strategized that it's optimal for me to not be in the heat for so many consecutive months. So now I'm okay because we're starting to see the temperatures drop. And just by
1 degree.
But you know what? I feel the breeze in the morning.
Okay.
And when I sit outside and have my quiet time, my reflection when I commune with nature, there's a little breeze.
Right.
So I think I've made it through for the season.
You know what I notice more than the breezes is the light.
Oh, the light
begins
changing.
To change.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's dark in the mornings. But just the shadowing is a little bit different. And so I really pay attention to light as we move into fall. But hey, listen, when those breezes come in and the humidity is not at 75%, it's all good.
It certainly is all good. So the first thing that, you know, I will say without a doubt is that taking a retreat, whether that's a big retreat, you know, for 4 weeks or a couple of days or for part of one day, I can't even begin to really, and we will talk about what I feel like the benefits are, but I'm sure there were a bunch of benefits that I haven't even integrated yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I noticed when I got out of my normal routines at home, and of course I had set an intention for this, but about 7 days into the retreat, I started to feel my inner life a little more vividly.
What does that mean to you, just so listeners know?
Yeah, sure. Sometimes, you know, I might function in my life focusing on creative things or work or taking care of others. And I don't always listen to all the internal nudges.
Mm.
Okay, if I'm anxious, I don't necessarily pay attention to that. If I have a creative idea, I might not necessarily pay attention to that. It's just sort of those little things that you feel in your body or in your, you know, coming up in your head that you're like, okay, that's nice. Keep going. Get the tasks done. You know, accomplish the goals. And not, you know, it's somehow, you know, we want to maintain what we have and have a certain amount of comfort in our environment. But I also could see how having a little bit of comfort in my daily life also became a way to avoid some of the inner discomfort that I might need to look at.
Okay,
so for instance, you know, at a certain time of day, a lot of times I'll hop into the canopy bed for a little while. And it's good to take that time out. But also, because I don't always put myself in an uncomfortable situation and I'm going for more comfort, I'm not necessarily tuning into something that might be uncomfortable inside myself. Or have a little snack instead of spend time feeling that feeling. Oh, I feel a little off. I'll have a snack.
Right. That'll make me feel better.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, you know, instead of really spending the time to deeply investigate, you know, what is that in there? Okay, what am I feeling someplace in my body, in my stomach? What do I feel in my throat? Why do I have a catch in my throat? Whatever it may be. It's so easy. Even if you're, and I'm not talking about extremely addictive behavior. I'm just saying getting some chocolate milk. You know, I'm just saying, you know, pet the cat for a while. And not that we shouldn't have chocolate milk or pet the cat. It's just that it just shows how important it is to have a certain amount of the day where we're choosing to tune away from our outer life and tune into the inner life.
So one of the things that I think is probably true of almost everybody is we look for distractions.
Yes, we do. And one of the distractions, of course, that we're all struggling with, learning how to, you know, use to our advantage and not to our disadvantage, is social media. And once, you know, because I wasn't around my normal social set. And, you know, I live with my son, I live with a roommate. So there's a certain amount of interaction that I have on a daily basis. And then certain friends that I stay in fairly close contact with. Once I made the decision to sort of be pulling back from that universe, I found myself just like, oh, I have to see what's happening on Facebook. And I spent more time doing that than I would have anticipated. If you had asked me in advance, will you be doing that? I probably would have said less than I did.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not that that's inherently bad, because I do feel, you know, I've strategically selected people in my Facebook world, and I do get a lot of support and connection from that environment. But also it can be the type of interactions that don't go that deep, that don't really offer a high level of intimacy, and can sometimes be just, oh, I don't like that, or I like that, and they don't really take you that far.
Right.
So part of what I did also reflect on during my time away is how I wanted to show up in the social media world in a maybe slightly different way. How do I want to use my voice, you know, more for goals that are strategic, or I'm consciously choosing rather than being in a reactive, responsive mode in social media? Sort of like the whole idea of mindfulness, you know, generalizing it into that a little bit more. Sometimes I make as many posts on my personal page or more than I do on my professional page, and maybe I'd like to shift that a bit. So, you know, that was very interesting to for me to watch, you know, how I handled that sort of thing.
So in a way, you know, while you were, at least after that first week, you began to look at yourself a little more objectively.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I had another goal that I worked on. I was trying to do more prayer, actual formal practice, which I didn't do tons of, but more significantly more than I had been doing at home. And I had another project that I was working on, and I tried to stay, you know, onto those two projects. Now, one of the surprise things that came up was that while I was away, I did not rent a car. So I was relying on other people in my Sangha to take me shopping or whatever, transport me from one location to another if I needed to go someplace. Like, you know, part of the time I was in an urban area and part of the time I was out in the country. So that transportation needed to be worked out. So that took a certain amount of time and attention and focus to get the basics covered on a given day. Okay, how's my grocery stash, this and that. And it became very clear to me that because when I'm at home, I have the car, I have a washer and dryer in my house, there's three grocery stores within 10-minute drive, I really do have the time when I am at home to say, okay, here's 30 minutes in the morning and here's 30 minutes at night that I'm going to focus on prayer and meditation or reflection, you know, that's somehow going to be retreat time in the day. And if it gets squished to 15 minutes twice a day, so be it. But there's no reason, there is no way I could make up in my mind a rationalization that I don't have time. No way. And it's so easy to do that because I feel like my creative energy gets excited in the beginning of the day and it wants to start expressing itself, you know, doing things, making things happen, connecting with people. And that's fine, but I also understand that in order to continue to have a vibrant creative flow, I need to have the quietness as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
So keeping it in balance.
Keeping it in balance. And maybe just one of the ideas that I had was to do like a retreat a couple days a month. But I actually think it might work better to do like a half day retreat every week.
Hmm.
You know, to just say this half a day of, yeah, like 5 hours, mm-hmm. and just say, okay, that's it. I'm not going to be doing social media then. I'm not going to interact with my friends. I'm not going to try to work. I'm going to focus on, you know, spiritual reading or reflection or prayer and meditation.
Would you end up picking a, rather than having it be random, would you pick a day
just
say, this is my day?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Because otherwise I would think you could easily put something else in
absolutely.
There.
And so that's my goal, is to have just a little chunk of time that I put boundaries around. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's okay, that I deserve that, you know, and that in the end it will work to my advantage.
You may want to consider, because I mean, I of course know where you live.
Right.
But you might want to consider, as the weather is improving, you know, to pick one of the little parks that's near you, and rather than staying at your home
right.
and doing it, but getting yourself there and saying, this is my retreat time.
Right. That's a great idea, because I have wanted to integrate more outside time. So
mm-hmm.
that's completely true as the temperatures begin to drop for us
mm-hmm.
here, because we're about to come into one of our really awesome seasons, you know, once
we
the temperatures
are.
Drop.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're on the Gulf Coast of Florida, so it can be kind of crazy hot here, you know, for
mm-hmm.
a few months in the middle, which we're just getting toward the end of, hopefully.
The end of, how about as you know, after that first week, and you're back, and you're kind of reflecting on who Kristen is and where you want to go with your life and what you want to do, and as you're looking at your relationships, did you have aha moments?
Well, really the biggest aha, I suppose, was the CD.
Okay, talk about the CD.
While I was on retreat, someone in my network messaged me and said, would you like to do a track on a meditation CD?
Mm-hmm.
And
you said,
I wasn't sure at first.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I reflected a little bit. Sure,
right.
Yeah. My teachers like to keep a fairly on the down low type of profile,
okay.
And so I wanted to make sure that I could protect their anonymity and still do something more public myself. You know, how would I manage that?
Okay.
How would I put something out that was, I felt like, had some integrity and some form or fashion that would
mm-hmm.
be useful to others? No, I had to do some thinking on
some
that.
Searching.
Yeah, I did. And then, of course, I dropped all that left brain business, and I pulled out my, you know, my trusty intuitive tool and looked at the cards, and it looked good. And so I said, okay, I'm going to go for this. The thing that I think is so fascinating is that, you know, it was not that easy for me necessarily to choose to go on retreat this year. Part of me wanted to go to Costa Rica, okay? Part of me just wanted to go to Costa Rica, lay in the sun, and drink pina coladas. Okay, there was another part of me that really wanted to continue to engage in a meaningful way with teachers that I've had relationship with for a long time, and to see how that was going to evolve as my life evolves and changes. It just, I
mm-hmm.
needed for that, I needed to feel like I had a vision of what that would be like.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big purpose in my taking this chunk of time. So then on the other hand, we had the part that wanted to lay on the beach in Costa Rica. So what was funny is I shared this with one of my teachers. I said, you know, this was a little hard, and it was such a funny response, so unexpected. She said, oh, yeah, we went to Costa Rica. We took, you know, one of the other teachers there because she likes to sit in the hot springs. And let me tell you, when you do go there, I think you should go there. I'm glad you came on retreat, but next time go there and let me know when you do go, and I'll let you know where to go and where not to go, in terms of safety or security or, you know, preferred spots. So that really said to me, do not make an either-or setup between your personal sort of wishes, whims, and desires and your spiritual aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make that a dichotomy, which sometimes it feels like it is for me, but I realize that's my own stuff, you know, and I just need to keep working through that. So that was such a funny response. I thought it was just so cute.
It was.
Yeah, very cute. And I was like, oh, okay.
I can have both.
I can have both, yeah. So that's about me expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of, so that, I think this was really, to a large extent, the, you know, about the relationship with myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, this retreat was really about who am I. So then with the meditation CD, it needed to get done just a short time. The track needed to be recorded a short time after I got back from the retreat. I wasn't fully back in my body yet. I was still, had done a lot of practice and been around some very high frequency people, you know, and I was just kind of floaty. So when I did the CD, when I did the little track, it's very different from some of the other tracks on the CD. And it's just what
now this is at children's, right?
No, this is for adults.
Oh, this one's for adults.
Yeah,
this is
a meditation CD for adults.
Okay.
And there's a variety. Everybody that did a track is high level, really high level healers, spiritual people, people that have been committed to their own journey and helping others for decades. So it's very high frequency. And the first time I actually heard the CD, and we were all, you know, listening, many of us who had done a track, we sort of all dropped into theta together. And it was so beautiful. And then all of a sudden, I could just feel the positive intention, you know, that we all shared in this and how it was rising up, this positive intention that we were offering forward to help other people. Oh, my gosh. I started to cry. I was personally moved. It was very powerful.
Wow.
And then the room I was sitting in, we were actually in the recording studio on Pine Island. It's called Farmdelica Sound. And I was in the studio looking at some of the other women in the room, and there was a woman who was a young woman, a middle-aged woman, and an older woman. You know, what is it? Maiden, wife, crone, maiden, mother, crone, you know, right there.
Okay.
And it was powerful to see that, to see this wisdom that we had all been sort of gleaning and cultivating, you know, throughout our lives, being passed from one generation to the other,
yeah.
And now here put out in the CD.
Wow.
Man, oh yeah, I'm getting tingles now.
Yeah.
It was very powerful for me. And I also felt inclined to, I did some ritual practice, you know, offering the CD after I did the recording. And I did put some traditional mantra on it, which I was hoping my teachers were okay with. I was texting back and forth. And I just did it. It just came out of my heart, all I can say. And it's very brief. And it was funny because after we shared the listening time together, the mother of one of the other women came up to me and she said, "Oh, I want to tell you something, you know, about, you know, that I hope you won't be mad." And I'm like, of course I won't be mad. So she shared that it felt like a beat poem to her, the meditation that I did.
Really?
Yeah, like a beat poem, yeah. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting and cool. In fact, I should have brought it today. I could have done it, but I didn't. So it is downloadable, and we'll tell you where, you know, afterwards. So anyhow, it was, that for me was really, I needed a creative experience. I need to express my creativity, you know, in more ways. And this was an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to build into a whole different universe of things that I haven't already done in my life. And it was just really, that was wonderful. And then, yes, right on the heels of that, it was time to go with my mother and my son to Massachusetts to visit our family there. We have a family reunion there every year. They do it. We go every 3 years or so. We go up. My mom actually offered to fund the trip for my son and I. So we're like, yeah, let's go. And yes, because I had been, you know, in that reflective state, I feel like the interactions were different.
Mm-hmm. I bet they were.
Yeah. Yeah, they were different. And I was able to observe some of the patterns, you know, a little
and
bit more.
And that would be the whole extended family, not just mom and son.
Oh, yeah.
Your mom.
My mother's brother and his wife, cousins. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's all my mother's side of the family. As many people as we can gather come to that event.
So you were able to see similarities or threads that have been in the family for a long time?
Yeah, there are. And the thing that was interesting was that artistic creative thread.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mother's brother is now doing a lot of really cool artwork he was a woodworker throughout his life. And then, but now he's doing artistic, you know, process things with it. So
what?
He's creating all sorts of different, like visual, like graphic art types of things out of wood,
out of wood,
and painting
okay.
them, mostly black and white, but now he's also going into gray. So they have messages, they have meaning, you know, things that he has observed throughout his lifetime, or, you know, expressing his values in this way.
And what is he going to do with those?
Well, he's showing them. He's had shows and he's selling them. It's mostly a hobby for him.
Okay.
But it encouraged me and my creativity, okay, to see that my uncle, okay, you know, the next generation, you know, back is finally getting to this. I'm like, well, let's get to it sooner. You know, I'm wanting to get to that a little sooner in my life, you know.
I will share, this is kind of interesting that he is, you know, did woodworking as a career and is now doing this, because I have a friend in the Tarpon Springs area of Florida who also did nothing for years and years and years. He was trained from the time he was about 18, I believe, to be a woodworker with cabinetry and things of that nature.
Right.
And but he's been collecting wood, you know, trees that are down and things like that from all over Florida. And he has a place that he's been drying them out. And he's getting ready, I believe, on Halloween to open up his own studio. And I've gone in and seen the pieces that he's already been bringing in there. And what he finds is he, as he cuts the piece of wood open, the, I don't know, it's not always a creature. Sometimes it's a rabbit that is exposed, you know, in terms of the face. There's an ET that has been exposed, an extraterrestrial. But the work is magical. It is absolutely magical. And, you know, I think he had to evolve to where he is today in order to be able to see it. You know, before it was functional wood, and now it is definitely this beautiful artistic venture that he's on. So that is cool. And we just kind of get there at some point in our life. And that's our aha moment. Like, here I've been working with this forever, and now I see it.
Right. And I've been noticing that with a couple of people. I have another friend who is an opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I heard her sing in college, and now she's, you know, my peer. She's around 50-ish. And to see her sing now, it's remarkable, you know, to see someone's craft evolve all, you know, over that whole time.
Right.
So I wanted to go back to sort of this interesting juxtaposition between wanting to create and bring things into the world and the need to allow them to sort of evolve and the need to reflect and pull back to make the space to allow them to sort of attract into your life,
right,
and to present it to the world. So it just seems like such a funny irony that when I went on retreat is when this opportunity came to me that was what I really needed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's not like a direct line between, oh, I went on retreat, this made this happen.
But you were open to it.
I was open. I think more than that, it's that sort of, I know that when I'm doing the practices, I'm courting the serendipity in reality. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm courting, it's more of a courting serendipity type of a mode. And yes, and a certain amount of openness that I might not have if I was in my living room.
Well,
because I'm putting my normal mundane thoughts and patterns on hold. I'm saying, okay, I'm on this retreat. I'm going to put these things on hold.
Right.
And then there's an opening. So,
and I think in the past, you know, like you said, you might have had that something going on inside of you, but then you said, oh, I think I'll go have a glass of milk, or oh,
what?
I'm gonna pet the cat.
Right.
And so, you know, now you didn't have that anymore, and it's like the doors are there, and it's like, which one do you want, door 1, 2, or 3? And you can kind of choose.
Right.
And when you open the door, it's like, oh wow, look what's behind this door.
Very interesting. And so just for people who are engaged in the creative process, you know, sometimes writers talk, you know, we all know about, you know, oh, is that person making art right now? Oh, are they doing their music? Oh, do they have, oh, they have a block. Well, you know, how do you move through those kinds of energetic blocks? It's not sometimes by pushing.
Right.
It's sometimes by not. Sometimes
right.
by waiting or tending. And then there were, you know, there were some other things, you know, like I really would like to have had my website up to be able to put the CD on, to be on your thing. But then I said to myself, you know what? Patient. Be
mm-hmm.
patient.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your life and how it's evolving. Just let it come as it's coming and be happy for that, you know, just sort of, you know, in that open exploratory kind of mode.
Right.
Because staying in a positive energetic feeling about things is more important than having the thing up exactly the way I want it.
Right.
And so that was sort of, you know, part of what I was getting at in the retreat was I had certain expectations of things that might happen. Like, for instance, I was planning to spend time by myself, completely alone. Part of the retreat, I was in the woods. And I thought, okay, I'll be in my little cottage and I'll be in there and I'm just going to meditate and I'm not going to talk to anybody. And as it turned out, my little area, my little cottage did not have hot water at this time. So I could have lived with cold showers and not being able to wash my dishes, or I had the choice of interacting with other human beings. I personally chose interaction with other human beings. So I was kind of, that was a little like spirit crushing for me at a point, because I was really set to just not talk to anybody for like 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to work through that. You know, mm-hmm. I had to let that go. I had to say, okay, you're on a retreat. The whole point is to be able to be, you know, have a flexible mind. How long are you going to let this bother you?
Right.
And it did bother me for a while. I'm not saying it didn't. I had to work through it. You know, as I started to work with that, then I could say, and here's where you can be taking that retreat mindset anywhere you are, anytime, mm-hmm. to say, you know what? What am I really signed up here for? Am I signed up to try to, you know, get some self-mastery and spiritual awareness out of this thing or what? And okay, yeah, I said, all right, so just see what's here for you. See, be open to what the other thing is that's happening here and enjoy that. And don't be so attached. And then I started to see the other side of it. Wow, mm-hmm. if I'd had that much time by myself, I might not have felt that good because I'm used to being around a lot more people and that might have been a little too far,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, okay, do I believe the universe has my back, you know, or can I look mm-hmm. for how the universe might have my back?
Right.
You know, whatever we're calling our higher power, the organic mastermind, whatever you want to call it, you know, am I, you know, hey, you know, maybe this is happening for me and not to me.
Exactly.
Let's look at that.
Exactly.
What is that? What, how, you know, what's the story I would be telling then? And then ultimately not being attached to any of the stories. But, you know, that's easier said than done. But, yeah, there was a lot of subtext, sort of, mm-hmm. you know, subcontext in the retreat time.
Mm-hmm.
That it was just nice to be able to have the space to observe a little more than I might.
Right. Yeah. I'm even thinking with some people, like yesterday, with it being 9/11, as I was going from where I live, it's about an hour's drive to where I was headed. And it was interesting because everybody appeared to be someplace else in their mind. You know, there was a lot of traffic. I didn't see accidents per se, but there were some. But it just felt as though there, I don't know how to describe it other than just the energy that I was experiencing as I was driving was people are not paying attention. They're someplace in their mind. And I think sometimes we can be in a situation where, not that you want to treat it as a retreat, but you can be in a situation where it's feeling a little bit uncomfortable. And if you can step back just a hair, and say, what am I feeling and what else is going on around me? And be observant. Then you learn something. You learn something about yourself. Because I found myself chuckling. There, no matter what I did, I was hitting a light. And it was a red light. You know, the yellow would begin, but it would, you know, I couldn't go through it. And I was like, okay, I am supposed to be taking my time today to get where I need to go. This is not about rushing. This is about introspection. And so I think that that can happen with people, that, you know, those that are listening out there, it can be a little retreat that just says, pay attention to what's going on around you and how you're experiencing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially on these days where, You know, there's, in theta healing, we have something called the morphic field, okay? Mm-hmm. That's where everybody's sharing energy together.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a day like 9/11, you know, that's going to be a heavy morphic field day.
It is. It was.
And so you're going to, you know, if you recognize that and say, you know what, maybe I'm just not going to be super energetic today, or mm-hmm. there's something that's off and that's just how it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
then you get a little tiny bit of space from it. Or right. like you were noticing, people weren't like really coalescing and flowing.
No.
It was like everything was jamming and sticking.
And sticking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, because a lot of their consciousness was tied up with processing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a big marker in American history,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it sort of is like, okay, before 9/11 it was this, and after 9/11 it was this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure that people associate a bunch of change that, you know, has happened in the world mm-hmm. with that. It's not that the change wasn't already happening. It's just sort of like that brought it to our attention.
You know, there was a young lady, I caught her being interviewed as I was coming home and last night, and she was born on 9/11.
Wow.
And so she's now 18 years old. And she said that she has, since she was in her, like around 10 years old, she had decided that every year to mark 9/11, she would do one good deed. And so, you know, not that she shouldn't be doing a good deed every day, but she made sure that she did something. And she thought if everybody had that attitude, you know, what a shift could be imagined, could be experienced. I'm not sure the right word.
You could move the energy. It would be a mm-hmm. way to heal that day
yeah.
a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she was encouraging everybody before they went to bed to reach out to do something that was on a positive note to counteract what had been done 18 years earlier.
Wow. Yeah, that's really
and
beautiful.
And I thought it was gorgeous. And for right. an 18-year-old to have understood that message and then to begin to do something with it back when she was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Right, right. Yeah. There's so much emotional valence, mm-hmm. you know, and because the country's so polarized and sort of churned up right now,
mm-hmm.
To try to say, you know, anytime we can get a positive focus or find the common ground or say, you know, how can we heal?
Mm-hmm.
What do we really need? What's going to really be helpful?
Mm-hmm.
What's actually working well that we can expand on?
Mm-hmm. Rather than staying stuck and pointing fingers and feeling all the negativity.
Oh, it's just, yeah.
We need to be able to move beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely. To think about where do we want to see ourselves as a nation in 5 and 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it from our old school values that we really loved, but how do we need to adapt for a global
right.
village? Yeah, more appreciative inquiry, you know, more
right.
really looking at what is working and what do we want to build on and what are the things that we all really hold near and dear,
you know, that would be very good. You've heard of the concept of the tipping point.
Yes, yeah. Oh yes, of course.
And to me, I mean, I have a dear friend that we talk about this quite a bit, but I personally feel... You know, he feels like things are spiraling down.
Mm-hmm.
And my take on it is quite the opposite, that I feel like we've reached a point where everybody is sort of standing up saying, no more. You know, we're going to move beyond this. We have to. And so at that point, you begin to tip the other direction because we've tipped so much to the negative side that we have to counterbalance it. And it is, our life is all about a pendulum. It's a balancing act. And I think we've said no more.
Yeah, you know? And we're in, you know, what's going on now is, you know, when in 2012, when it was the end of the Mayan calendar, you know, the
mm-hmm.
beginning of the end, that was the end of a certain era. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
the end of the world. It
right.
was the end of a
right.
certain time. And so I think we are realizing that we had gone a little too far in the yang energy, and now we're trying to get some yin energy in
mm-hmm.
the program and get that balance a little bit better.
Right.
And it goes back and forth. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there were times when, you know, most civilizations were matriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then everybody got patriarchal. Well, now we got to get it mixed up so that we can be healthy, you know, so that we can honor the divine
feminine and the yin
and the divine masculine.
Right.
Because otherwise, yeah, we don't want the outcomes that happen
mm-hmm.
from being way out
One.
Of balance. Yeah, exactly. So that's just another, you know, and even those types of, what do you call it? I think they call it binary. you know, the younger people, you know, not having a gender, a real strong gender identification either mm-hmm. way, even that's starting to be obsolete, you know, so there's a lot of change going on. And, you know, for people who are 50 or older, we're going to have to work really hard to keep up with it all. That but that's all right. I'm okay
true.
With that.
That is true.
So I just wanted to talk just a little bit more about sort of having space in relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, not being in the same patterns, because, you know, I think the dynamics that we have with our families are some of the hardest dynamics to shift and be aware of. And even under the best of circumstances, like, you know, there's a fair amount of unified values in the people that I was on the trip with, especially mm-hmm. between like my mom, my son, and I mean, we do have some different ideas, but to a large extent, we have a fair amount of common ground. That doesn't mean we are not completely different as individual personalities, very different as individual personalities. And I think we learned. I felt like this trip, it was almost like a team building trip.
Oh, okay.
That we just, because we put ourselves in a different environment, we chose to stay in an Airbnb, which we hadn't done before. And we stayed in an Airbnb where there was a man living in the space. We had a certain amount of the space, but he was still there. And so my son decided that that wasn't comfortable for him, and he doesn't want to do that if we stay in an Airbnb in the future. He wants all the space, you know, for us. And it was really interesting, you know, to observe how we were together, you know, where our sticking points were, where we were, you know, successful. You know, it was very, very interesting. And, you know, it all, in the whole idea of, you know, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, it does start in your own head, and mm-hmm. then it generalizes into your house, into right. your, you know, right. your immediate family. If you can work through the karma, because that's really where the karma is, you mm-hmm. know, that's where the deep multi-lifetime stuff is. If you can start to move through that in some kind of a meaningful way,
right.
you are, everything else is going to, you know, shift and become better. And I'm not saying that's a cakewalk, but it totally can be done. And so I guess that's the other thing, that coming off of these two events, then this last weekend, I took another Theta Healing course. I had an opportunity to take a Theta Healing course.
And what
course.
Happened at that one?
This was called Dig Deeper.
Okay. And you've been digging for the last month almost.
I've already been digging, yeah. So, well, for earlier in the summer, but still... learn some new strategies for helping people find their bottom beliefs, but mm-hmm. also was able to look at some of the patterns that I would like to continue to modify, you mm-hmm. know, to manifest into new and different ways. So, yeah, I guess I've been sort of it's been a speedy last 4 months in terms of, it's been a rocket ship in terms of growth and accelerated, you know, activity in the world. You know, looking forward to, you know, expanding my business reach and helping more people. And I always just, I really believe and live and do the best I can to do the Let It Begin With Me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to radiate that light and awareness and wisdom and compassion, you know, from me going out as best I can. And never forget that I have something more to learn, to develop into, to be clear mm-hmm. about, you know, this is not, it's not, you're never, I hope I'm still learning until I check out, until the very last second before I leave this plane.
Right,
you know?
And then I think you have a great big aha, like you look back on it and go, oh my goodness, look at what we've accomplished, you know.
Right, well, apparently you know a lot of stuff from the other side. Anything you didn't get over here, apparently it's crystal clear
once you make that transition.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So, all right, so you had three areas, and I guess one of the things I'm sort of wondering, since each one was very different, at least in my mind, it would be very different, and yet you're one person.
Yep.
So, you know, you're kind of unifying those experiences. And do you have time now, or are you kind of like jumped back into your life to such a degree that you can't reflect on each one of those experiences with your family, with Theta Healing maybe, with your time at the retreat.
I've been trying to, I think I'm just trying to go, I'm trying to court serendipity more and be frazzled less.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say I have the time. I do have the time. And there's also, it doesn't have to be separate. I mean, you can be doing an activity, you know, you can be driving your car, you can be washing your dishes, and you can be in a relaxed, open state. You know, I can drop into Theta while I'm washing dishes or while I'm doing, you know, other activities that don't require 100% of my focus.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think that's been happening for me for years, that my regular state of hanging out in a relaxed way in my house is a little bit more, a little quieter than a lot of people's, at least based on what I hear. I don't know for sure because I can't see that directly.
Right.
But I'm able to bring it, I'm able to bring that to some extent. But I also, like on the flip side, have a lot of sort of creative energy now that I want to express, you know, and in new ways, different ways.
It was one of those doors you opened up.
Exactly, in new and different ways. That's important to me because I want to stay vibrantly engaged, you know, in life. And, you know,
I want you to explain something because you talk about Theta, and I know what Theta is, but I'm thinking a lot of people that are listening have no clue as to what you mean by Theta healing.
Well, we have different brain states, you know, alpha, beta, delta, theta.
Okay.
So theta is where you're sort of going to go when you're meditating or in a deep relaxation. And it seems to be a place where you can connect with the intuitive world.
Uh-huh.
And
what's it like when you connect with the intuitive world? I know what you mean, but again, I would like others to sort of understand that.
Right. In Vajrayana, in the Theta healing, because I am sort of working in two or three different paradigms, I mean, generally, if I'm working one-on-one with a person and they share with me what their worldviews are, I can figure out how to kind of communicate what I'm talking about in a way that they understand, you know, because I can go to where their worldview is.
Okay.
There's a lot of data sort of floating around. If you think, if you've ever seen like the movie The Matrix or whatever, there's all these like energetic pathways that are all over the place all the time, all these energy grids. And we're just not conscious of them all the time, but they're there.
I think it'd drive most people crazy if they were conscious of all of it.
Right. So it's there. And people do feel it. Many people do feel it in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, I'm absolutely sure that a lot of people felt the morphic field of the sadness of 911. There is no way they could avoid that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure they felt the sadness and the grief and the loss of that. No way they avoided that. So that sometimes it's very apparent. But anyway, let's just say, for instance, this may sound a little outside of the box, but recently, a few months ago, I was doing a reading, and the woman who was in my chair was not really giving me very much. I think she was sort of testing my intuitive abilities, but she wasn't being completely closed up either, but not really super open. So at the very beginning of the reading, I see this bird. Well, I never had an animal visitor in a reading before. Just popped in. There's this bird. I'm like, okay, why is there a bird here? That is different.
Was it a particular kind of bird?
It was a little bird, like a little red, like a little cardinal or something.
Okay.
Nothing fancy, just your everyday look in your yard kind of bird, you know.
Okay.
So she and I were talking back and forth, and she was sharing the circumstances of her life, what was going on, blah, blah, blah. And we kind of got to like a stopping point in the reading, which almost never happens. It's usually, oh, okay, time's up. You got to go, you know, all right, do you want to add minutes? No. Okay, see ya. It's quick. Goes by quick. So we're like, simultaneously, we both look at each other and we say, let's go back to the bird. Okay, right. Just like that. Okay, simultaneously, we're like, let's go back to the bird, when we both realized we were sort of at a stuck place. So then I just sort of tune in. It's hard to exactly explain how I, you know, what my process is. And I went to the bird, and like I'm inquiring, like, okay, why are you showing up? Tell us something. Why are you showing up? And there was like a 5-word message for the woman. Like, I think it was, do something for yourself. do something for yourself. Even less, do something for yourself. Yeah, four words. And essentially, she had been taking care of her son, who was on the autism spectrum, like for quite a long time, homeschooling. I had seen in the vision of her, I had seen her doing like work, like writing small something or others. And apparently she was an accountant, so I had seen that element of who she was. But she had been deeply considering the possibility of taking a professional position with the state, in a position that would be like an advocacy position for children with special needs. And to me, once I heard do something for yourself, I'm like, I think you better be applying for that job. Okay, that's, to me, that's how that connects. Now, that's just the way I, process that. Every intuitive reader type person has their own process. There's all these different configurations of different types of gifts. And then she confessed that the bird had been tapping on the window for 2 weeks and would not leave, and they even had put like tape on the window. The bird left, and then they put the tape down, and the bird came back and kept tapping again. Now, the woman did not tell me this, you know, throughout the thing. No,
yeah.
She told me at the end, once I said, here's the bird message.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so how does that happen? I cannot even begin to tell you how that happens. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how that actually works. But I do feel that bird presence, she had an intuitive knowing, okay? She knew that she needed to apply for that job, okay? Mm-hmm. Before she ever sat in my little, office area, she knew that, and that bird was trying to confirm that for her, mm-hmm. Taking her into her inner connectedness with all that is, and she just wasn't going there. And so she needed to sit in my chair as a helping reader type person, and for me to say, the bird has a message. Why is it pecking on your window for 2 weeks?
Right. I'll have to share with you and with listeners here, when you talk about a bird, I came home from work. This is several months ago now. But since you and I haven't seen each other, I didn't share this one with you. And I've always been told that when you see a feather, it's like an angel kind of visiting. Mm-hmm. And so there was this beautiful, tiny white feather on my doormat as I got here.
Right.
And it hadn't blown away. And it was very small.
Right.
So I picked it up. I bring it in. I have like an amethyst cathedral. So I put it inside the cathedral and then anchored it with a clear quartz crystal because I didn't want it to blow away in the condo.
Right.
So a couple of days later, I was meeting with a person. And I still do, therapy on the side if somebody wants me to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was meeting with this individual, and we were outside, kind of like at a tiki bar kind of place. But there was a building that I was facing, and she was facing me. And I look up, and here is a white dove. And I knew it was a female, and it was sitting there all by herself. And she just kept staying there. I kept looking up for the next 20 minutes, and she was looking down, and I could see, I took pictures because I could see the aura of this particular dove around her. I'll have to show it to you after we're done. But I was like, okay, I am definitely getting a message here that this is a divine connection. You know, that wherever I'm going with what I'm doing, that it is a signal that...
It felt like a confirming thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to bring up that, all of these different things where we find meaning, is attributed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every culture might look at the thing and have three different meanings for it, or
exactly.
10 different meanings. So
exactly.
We attribute the meaning, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So this is where things get a little dicey and confusing for some people. It's like, well, what does that mean? It's not like it's not stamped in stone that this thing only means this once and for all and forever in every case.
Right.
It's when you have a symbolic world, okay, when you start operating in a symbolic world and it has meaning to you, then it also will most likely have meaning to the other person, because that other person and you have created an intention to move toward a greater understanding or healing point.
Mm-hmm.
You've created an intentional place.
Right.
Okay, where magic happens between mm-hmm. people, which we don't really understand. You know, mm-hmm. it's happening on some kind of a
higher
plane.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people that are listening are aware that I have a book that's coming out in January. And I think you saw the picture of that sunset that I put out on Facebook, or did you not see it?
Maybe.
But it had, when we walked into a room in Orlando, the windows across the whole back overlooked Universal Studios and Disney. And the sunset that night literally has, because my book has three mice in it, it had three mice in the shape of clouds, but it was very clear that they were three mice chasing each other across the sunset. And I was dumbfounded because I was there meeting with the illustrator and meeting with another gentleman who was instrumental in getting the book noticed.
Right.
And I was like, really? This, I mean, you just don't have this kind of cloud formation normally. So if you haven't seen that picture, I will show you that one as well.
Yeah, I would like to take
a look. But yeah, there's so much, like when you do see those doors of opportunity and you choose, you know, which door do you want to open? Then being open to whatever, in my mind, the universe, our guides, angels, whatever, you know, is bringing to us. And we can always choose to ignore it. We can choose to accept it. We can choose to say next. You know, we can do whatever we want because we have those kind of choices.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think a lot of people get caught up in, okay, what does Creator, my higher power, God want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I've felt for a very long time that as long as you're doing good things,
mm-hmm.
you really have free will. You mm-hmm. can make up, you can do this a lot of different ways. You can make up a whole lot of different things that are perfectly acceptable.
Yep.
So it has to do with, you know, more about, you know, living with some integrity and ethics and, you know, care and caution and helping others and, you know, being sensitive to the needs of the people around you is more what you're supposed to do. That's the definite stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, your higher power wants you to do. Once you're doing okay, pretty good with that, you really have pretty much carte blanche to create what you want in the world.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And some people probably create more easily than others, and some people create things they really don't want to want, because, you know, have in their life.
Well, sure, because it's coming from an unconscious thing rather than a conscious thing.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people live what I call a fear-based life, false evidence
right.
appearing real, and so they live their existence rather than making it a meaningful life. They're always looking for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
And you and I have both seen that happen over and over and over again. So
right.
if people can become somewhat aware that, yes, what I do with my thoughts is reflected in my world,
It
makes it a whole lot easier to kind of catch yourself
right.
and make yourself more aware that when you open the door, don't be looking for the train coming at you.
Right. And a lot of that is in the emotional realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the manifestation of positive and negative is coming from the emotions
right.
that we hold in our body, you know, and any shock and trauma and things like that. Often we'll just keep in a pattern until we're able to process and release, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that was that we did not process when it happened initially.
Right.
So it's presenting an opportunity for healing if something, you know, keeps knocking on your door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. Well, tell people a little bit about how they can find your CD.
Okay.
I want you to be able to
right.
do that.
Right, and I was looking for the picture, but I don't think we didn't print the picture
mm-hmm.
that I sent you in the email. So it's on all of the major downloads on, I'm so bad at this part. It's on Amazon, and I needed that picture. I don't have a picture.
Oh, is it Spotify?
I don't know.
Okay.
can't... If you go to my website or my Facebook page, Kristen Geeslin, MS, I have it posted where you can get the CD. Maybe we can put it on your page or
yeah,
something
I'll put
like
it
that.
Up on,
yeah,
right.
Right.
Do that.
And it's going to be just, it's a really nice opportunity for someone, either a master meditator or an intermediate or a brand new meditator. There are 13 different tracks.
Oh, so, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, so you can just pick the ones that you like or use the ones that you want to use at a certain time. Some of them are heavy on guided imagery. Others are more, and all of the music that goes on the CD was composed specifically for the meditation.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
It's very special. It's a very special work of the heart. The people that I worked with, Lainey and Howard, who have Pharmadelica sound, were extremely professional and full of heart in this project. And, you know, all of us who participated, there were only a few people that have ever recorded anything in the past. So most of us were brand new and we were coached through the process. And it just feels like there's so much energy of the heart in the project. And that's what, you know, makes me happy.
So they're able to buy it from your website?
No, they can download it or they can contact me at Kristen Gieselin MS on the Facebook page, and okay. I can send it to them if they want a hard copy.
Okay, because I would think quite a few people might want their own copies,
you know,
so that they can use it when they want to use it.
Right.
Take it with them, make it more portable.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So, Kristen Gieselin MS, or you can email me at kristengieselin2@gmail.com. And I don't think we have a link for me on your page. So maybe we should maybe we can put the Facebook page link on your
page. Yeah, I think we could probably do that after the show's over today.
Okay, great.
Get that up and running.
Cool.
Also, you have a new place that you're going to be that is up in Palm Harbor.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be on Thursdays from 12 until 6. I'm going to be at the Violet Butterfly for those of you that are in the Pinellas County area or Tampa Bay area. It is a metaphysical healing center, and I will be offering, in the beginning at least, 30-minute theta healing sessions so that you can get the feel for what theta healing is,
mm-hmm.
and I will also be doing intuitive readings and coaching there.
All right, and that is on Highway 19 and Alderman Road?
That is correct, on the southwest corner, and it's next to First Watch.
Okay.
Violet Butterfly.
And First Watch, by the way, for people who are not familiar with it, they have the most amazing breakfast and lunches that you could possibly want. So you could come for a breakfast and then walk right next door and have a theta healing with Kristen. All right. Well, I really appreciate you being back again. It's been quite a few months now since we've had you on the show. So I appreciate you coming back and doing the show.
And I appreciate being here, Lucy. Thank you.
You're welcome. And for everyone who, is going to maybe miss the live show, of course, you know, we've moved to noon on Fridays. And so if you miss that live show opportunity, it is up on the website at synergyconnectionradio.com. And Kristen's show will be archived there, so you'll be able to find her. And we'll get her link up after the live show today. So go out there and make it a fabulous afternoon, and please make this your best life. Thank you so much, everyone. Bye-bye.